Hey, it's the PC Gamer Show, and this week we're slowing down and taking stock. George joins me to take a look ahead at all the big PC games releasing this holiday season. Never hurts to plan ahead, right? Stick around.
So George, I'm about to say something super scary and possibly rude. If you could just prepare yourself so listeners don't think you've pissed your pants, shit your pants, whatever, from being freaked the fuck out, that'd be great. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of monster, you know? This is a family podcast.
I'm mentally prepared to receive the news that you're about to give me.
Okay, okay. Trick or treat. Trick or treat.
Smell my feet. Smell,
damn it. You took it. Give me new video games to eat. And eat in this instance is analogous to play or consuming, because we are consumers consuming media. It's the scariest time of year, but also one of the most exciting times of the year, because this is when all the new games fall from the sky like so many dead birds. It's the big release season. And we're going to sort of take stock, because I don't know about you. I feel like this release season crept up on me, this bizarre, timeless existence we've been living. It's here now. Games are going to come out.
Yeah, that's weird. It feels like just yesterday it was like January, and now we're talking about game consoles being released and the end of year. And like, I think someone mentioned game of the year discussions, and I almost got up and quit. Like,
what? I played like three games. Oh my God, I have a lot of homework to do, specifically with an eye to everything coming out in we're at the end of October, November, and then a couple, I think there's some releases in December, but we're going to kind of just work through the big ones, maybe touch on some, smaller games that interest us as well, and sort of take stock together. Listener, join us, as we
ready to go on this journey with you.
Yeah. Mentally prepare ourselves for all the shit that's going to happen in the next couple of months. So why don't we start off with, I think the next big release, if I'm not mistaken, the big one is, October 29th, Watch Dogs Legion is hitting. Do you have any feelings about this? This is the one where you play as anybody in London.
Anyone, you see that homeless man, you can play as him.
Yeah.
You see that old lady with a stun gun, you can play as her. you see that not cop, you can play as him too. I'm getting like strong State of Decay vibes. I don't know if you ever played that game, but it was kind of this survival zombie game where they had like a shit ton of characters that were all randomly generated, and you can recruit survivors, and then you can take turns playing with each different survivor, and they all had their own set of skills and like a 2-line description kind of like about them, where it's like,
right,
this former teacher who's into welding, done, that's all you need to know about him. And you would kind of get these stats. But yeah, Watch Dogs Legion, it's become that game where when I first saw the announcement, I was kind of like lukewarm about it. And I think our own Chris Livingston's playing it right now. And the more I see this game, the more excited I get for it. And I'm usually kind of indifferent when it comes to Ubisoft games, just because I feel like they tend to oversell, I think, sometimes. Yeah. And then when you play the games, it's just like, okay, it's just like another checklist open world RPG. So the fact that this one doesn't have a main protagonist, and you're kind of change, you know, your different characters at different moments to kind of, they're like the logic puzzles of like, you need to break into an XYZ place, but you need XYZ skills, go find people to fill those skills. That seems like it could be interesting. Who knows? Yeah. Again, like, the story seems a little bit weird, and just like, okay, if we're going back to fascism, all right. it's not
thinly
cops.
Masked
it's
fascism. It's, yeah,
it's like, yeah, but it's not cops. It's they're a PMC, which I guess are worse. If Metal Gear has taught me anything.
Yeah, and Ubisoft won't ever say any of that stuff directly, which is a shame. But yeah, it could be interesting. We can't speak specifically to what we've seen of it, but I do. I'm with you. I think I reviewed the second game, and I didn't give it a very. I mean, I gave it a decent score. I think a lot of people, according to our review chart, thought I hated it. I didn't. I just, it felt like more open world checklisty than a lot of those games at the time. And I think this one could be a cool systemic sandbox if all that stuff really plays out. So we'll see. We'll know soon.
I definitely like Watch Dogs 2. I thought the writing was better. And I like kind of being in this group of like hacker kids, just, you know, just a bunch of hacker teens being goofballs and just millennials just doing stuff on your phone and 3D printing AK-47s. I'm like, all right, I can rock with these guys.
Yeah, so we'll see. I kind of didn't think I was going to play it, but now I think I might have to. Well, assuming we have time, because there's a couple. We'll just like list a couple here. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered. I don't really have great feelings or emotions about that. I remember liking that game. That's November 6th. Cool. Dirt 5, more cars. The next big one I maybe once would have had great feelings for, Destiny 2 Beyond Light expansion. Did you ever dip your toe into the Destiny pool?
I did. When I worked for a different outlet, I was like the Destiny guy for a while.
You've been there then.
And then I've been there. I know the struggle, and I've not caught up with the, what's the last one? Shadowkeeper. I think the cool thing about Beyond Light, I think it introduces like a new kind of class. So like a new, just like element, which I think, darkness, which I think could open up. Yeah. It just open up a bunch of new, like different gameplay mechanics, along with like PvP might be kind of fun now if you're that, you know, like Destiny's weird, man. It's one of the best feeling shooters out there. But it's just so bogged down with like MMORPG nonsense that it just sort of like whenever anytime I try to go back to Destiny, I'm just inundated with messages. And it's like, you got packages here. Go and get your Ingrams. And I'm just like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's a better kind of on ramp for people like me in Beyond Light, where it's just like, hey, have you not played for a couple of months? Here's everything that's important to you right now. And like, and it'll be interesting to see, especially if they're vaulting older content on there. And I think maybe that's the problem. Just like, you could just get so overwhelmed, you just don't know where to start.
This focus could be good. I'll play it just for the campaign. I think, like you said, it's one of the best feeling shooters. That remains true. And I think paired with this kind of deepening, ever deepening RPG systems tied to armor and these subclasses, you know, I like fucking around with that. Until, you know, I'm on like night 5 of playing it in a row and I realize like I've been doing the same tasks over and over to maybe get some loot that might inch me up a power level or two. It kind of like makes me feel it's the rare game that I do feel like I'm genuinely wasting time in when I'm grinding.
It's the quintessential Discord game where you can just sort of, or like put on a podcast and just, you need something mindless to do. Like Destiny 2 is a great kind of listen to a podcast or have Netflix on a separate screen.
Yeah. It's you kind of need a good social group, I think, to make the time pass by when it gets particularly repetitive. But
tell me, you have to make friends, James. I don't want to make friends.
I'd rather just play Death Stranding alone forever. what's up next is that we got some more Ubisoft here. Ubisoft's really stacking them up this season. I guess they were delayed for a while. Watch Dogs was delayed. I think Assassin's Creed was delayed initially. Maybe I'm making
probably
that up. Or that was
Ubisoft went through some stuff, so I feel like they're just stacking a deck here, so we forget how the horrible things that happened to that company.
Definitely. So November 10th, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I played 6 hours of the open world of this recently. So like
so tell me about Vikings. The Vikings cool?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Are you excited about Vikings?
The broad takeaway is that this is going to hit a lot like Odyssey did in terms of just the open world structure, like what you do moment to moment. It's not going to feel, the novelty is the setting. And, you know, so there's some subtle changes. I'm curious to see. I think Eivor, I played as the Lady Eivor, and her voice actor is like amazing. We could have another Cassandra on our hands.
Oh, good.
The writing, it's definitely just that entertaining historical cable drama, you know, like a premium cable drama, that's fun to me. You know, Vikings are fun. It feels like a darker, weirder you know, as you'd expect, kind of Assassin's Creed. There's a lot more of that supernatural mythological stuff kind of peppered in a little earlier.
And there's also weird, like, there's also like a weird meta layer of like base management or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know how meta that is, or it's just like a progression thing. Like, I don't know how involved it'll be. I mean, because I did some of that. I didn't have time to do a ton of it, you know, but as you play like 90 hours of this thing, you know, like you will upgrade your home base with different facilities that give you certain benefits, like certain resources that you can pour into upgrading weapons and, you know, just like, like you said, all that meta progression stuff. But it's also just cool, a cool little like signifier of the story and like your path and like power creep.
I'm a sucker for a good like upgrade a building at your home base, come back later and you're like, look how big my church got. And my blacksmith now sells cooler armors and axes. And like, oh yeah, I'll come back for more. I will gather as many coppers and woods to make that dream come true.
Definitely. And so I think this one's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be kind of exactly what you'd expect from this, like this recent reboot streak since Origins and Odyssey of Assassin's Creed. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. It's like, I don't know about you, but I like having just one of those open world games on retainer for when I have that odd weekend or whatever. I just want to turn my brain off and go and just dissolve time. So.
Yeah, it does seem like the perfect game if you ever catch the flu or get laid off or take a vacation.
Yeah, hopefully.
Like I always make sure I have a game like that ready to go. Like,
exactly. And they just announced a bunch of like post, same with Watch Dogs, post launch support, including like two expansions. So like Odyssey, which I have 100 hours in, it's going to be like kind of the infinite game to tap into.
Yeah. That's a lot of game.
It's maybe too much game.
Might be the only game you'll ever need.
James, let me do the next game. Go for it. Let's ping pong here.
From Ikio Software. You wanted it. I wanted it. Handball 21.
Yeah, baby. It's finally here. November 12th.
Play thrilling matches against top European teams and experience handball like you're actually there.
I would, yeah. I mean, that's appealing. I'm sold to actually be there. What a thrill. I mean, like, okay, not to shit on this. we're Americans here. No, fuck this shit. It's handball. Get out of here. It looks goofy, but hey, you know, it could be a cool sim. Maybe it's good.
It looks like soccer with your hands from the screenshots here. Yeah. And like where I grew up, handball is different. It's the one where you play. It's the two old men who play the rubber ball against the wall, and it almost looks like racquetball with your hands. This looks like water polo on land.
Water polo on land. Yeah. Good description. What's up
on the court? I don't know. They're bad games. Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War.
Wow, that's a lot of words.
That was designed by SEO, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Is this a Treyarch joint? Yeah, this is a Treyarch one.
Yes.
I don't know much about Call of Duty anymore. It used to be my shit.
What are your thoughts on war crimes?
Bad. I think they're bad.
Okay, but what if Reagan sent you to do the war crimes?
Probably extra Reagan bad.
But what if Reagan acts like he didn't know he sent you guys, though?
He didn't know that we were doing war crimes? He knew we were doing war crimes, but he pretends. He
pretended, yeah.
Oh, I think that's a little, that's like three layers of bad. That's like so bad.
It's Call of Duty. It's going to have like a really bombastic campaign from stuff. We saw that one trailer with the one gameplay footage with they're in the cars chasing the airplane in the airport, and then they use a remote control car to jump into the plane, and surprise, the car has a bomb in it. I'm more into the multiplayer. I think I like to see what sort of Warzone upgrades is happening, like those era weapons of like late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. And just like, you know, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Warzone recently, so I think just a nice little, you know, 1970s, 80s vibe.
I think flavor would be kind injection. Of
yeah.
Um, Yeah, I kind of feel nothing about the campaign, especially once I saw Reagan in 3D. I was like, what the fucking fuck? Okay. That
beautifully rendered Reagan.
Ugh, it's just whatever. It's cold, dead eyes. I'm not above playing a Call of Duty campaign and just like having a good time. It's just, I don't know, it's like maybe too goofy for me. But yeah, I think Warzone is like, the Warzone integration is the big draw here. I know... we've seen some coverage on the site from the beta and such, that it's mixed feelings. I think Morgan said the shooting feels worse in Black Ops multiplayer. Not talking about Warzone necessarily, but just the vanilla multiplayer mode. So, I think you're going to see some people, plant a flag in, Modern Warfare.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it Modern Warfare? Yeah.
Modern Warfare. There are going to be people who are going to be set in their own camps. Yeah. Where it's just like, no, I want Modern Warfare. You can, the past is the past, let it die.
Yes.
Type attitudes. And yeah, I played the beta and like, yeah, something felt a little bit off. And even just kind of like the combat cadence is just like a lot of dudes sliding. And like, I don't remember people telling me about Vietnam that was like a viable like strategy. It was just straight power sliding.
Yeah, but, yeah, old historical footage.
James, the next game, though, one I'm super excited for.
Oh, this is your shit, man. I decided to
do this goddamn segment was so I can talk about Yakuza like a dragon.
This game looks good.
That game looks delicious. As a recent Yakuza convert in the last couple of years, yeah. I mean, I was familiar with the franchise. The Yakuza franchise has been around almost like forever. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I got my hands on Yakuza 0 where I was finally like, oh, I see what the big deal is. So yeah, Yakuza Like a Dragon, set in the Yakuza universe. It's set after the events of, I guess, Yakuza 6 and Fresh Start, Judgment.
You think you could pop into this? Is the idea you could pop into this and not?
Yeah, yeah, it's a new main character. It keeps with all the... It's so great because it blends the seriousness of like a Japanese crime drama because you are a disgraced Yakuza trying to like build himself back up after I think he goes to prison and then he's just like, you know, might be left for dead. There's, you know, you've heard this intro before, but the cool thing about this game is that the Yakuza games are usually just a beat 'em up. So what they did this time around, since the main character is obsessed with JRPGs, he sees combat and the world interpreted through a JRPG lens. So that means the combat itself is a turn-based RPG. And all the characters that you recruit, which is another first for the franchise, is you're recruiting a party of people who all have different jobs and abilities. So it's like you can get the hostess girl who is she's a fashionista. So she attacks people with her purse, or you get like the homeless guy who uses a cane, and they all kind of have like goofy power-ups. And, you know, they even have summons. We've all seen the video of him whipping out his smartphone and summoning an army of lobsters to go. Oh my God. It's so good. And so there's always that great balance of just like, the core story is a serious crime drama, but then the beauty of the Yakuza games are the side quests and and just the citizens, because you're always doing these like bizarre side missions. That my critique of the older Yakuza games was you would do these missions, they're great, but then you don't have any like real payout. Where this time around they could lead to a new character or some gear, and it just like it's a JRPG. So the Yakuza universe, it's so good.
It looks so good. Goofy as hell.
So good
in all the right ways, and I'm sure that'll consume your life. I'll probably play it. Well, gosh, Yakuza is like my big blind spot. I feel like I have to play through the other ones, but there's so many. they're pretty long.
What you should do, what I've been telling people, since there are like a billion Yakuza games and a lot of like weird import spin-offs, like there's a zombie one, there's one where it's set in feudal Japan, which is kind of weird. But if you just want to dip your toe into Yakuza, I believe they're on Xbox Game Pass on PC. So you can try Yakuza 0, and then they have Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2, which are remakes of Yakuza 1 and 2, which I think is a fantastic starting point. You get to introduce to Kiryu and Majima and just like the wackiness of that game. And they're also using the updated fight engines and graphics. So there's plenty to do. And And we talk about like meta layers and side nonsense. Like Yakuza 0, you manage a hostess club and you have to try to make sure that like all the guests are happy, but not like being like, but not too handsy. You got to, so it's you interpreting the hostess's like hand signals where she's like, I need more ice. So you have to be like, what does that mean? Oh, it's so good, James.
Okay. All right.
Do so. Play the Yakuza games.
Too many games, man. Oh, gosh. But okay. Yakuza Like a Dragon, November 13th. I think the next big one is after that is it's a monolith, a towering.
It's that
game. Yeah, it's that game. Moving that on. Game. Enough said. Cyberpunk 2077, November 19th. It's finally happening. It's CD Projekt Red's first game. Well, first major full big timey release since The Witcher 3. I guess we had, you know, some card game stuff between then and now. But yeah, Cyberpunk 2077. Open world cyberpunk game. What else do we say about it? I feel kind of like just exhausted from years and years.
And I almost have the reverse effect from when we talked about Watch Dogs Legion, where the more I see of Cyberpunk, the less I want to play it.
I'll play it. I just feel like the edges are dulled for me a little bit. I will still play it and probably enjoy it.
I will talk so much shit about this game, but I will have it day one and I will play it. But mostly because I don't want to turn like a Witcher 3 situation where Witcher 3 was that game where everyone was like, oh, if there's only one game you ever play in your life, you should play Witcher 3. You haven't played Witcher 3. Oh, no, dude, the story in Witcher 3, you should play Witcher 3. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to play it when I'm ready.
Exactly. I think also just the fact that it's a huge game, it's going to be a huge time suck, and it's coming right at the end of November. That's right before our Black Friday stuff, which we're going to be like so busy. It's just like it feels poorly positioned for me to be like emotionally open to ripping through it. We'll cover the fuck out of it. You know it. You know we will.
Oh, yeah.
And
there will be some hot takes.
I'm very excited to see the depth of the role-playing systems and the story choices. Like, that's the stuff that's been hyped up for so long. And we just haven't seen, like, where it goes or, you know, what it's the bigger picture is. I think that's maybe why I'm so numb to it, is because these presentations kind of just, like, skim on the surface of that stuff. Like, look how much variety we have.
Look at brain dancing.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, but we just need to play the fucking thing and see if this is a good RPG or not. I guess we will soon. Yeah,
I hope it's good. Despite all the weirdness of CD Projekt Red, I hope it's good.
a lot of questions about representation and all sorts of interesting cultural critiques, I'm sure, will emerge.
Some choices were made, especially in the gang stuff.
So. Yeah, they're gonna have to do a lot of work to like nest that stuff comfortably in an excusable or like good social satire. Like,
we're hoping that's the case, but history has taught us otherwise.
Yeah, well, no, we'll see. We'll see.
Same positive.
After that, shout out to Football Manager 2021 fans on, that's November 24th, right? Yeah. November
24th. That's the one with the feet, not the helmets.
yes. The important distinction.
Yeah. We got to rep our UK audience. And
this is true. And after that, we got another big Ubisoft game. What's coming up next, George? Oh,
yeah. We've got Immortals Fenyx Rising, AKA one of the worst names I've heard of.
Awful name.
That is a terrible name. Considering the old name was what, Gods and Monsters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, that's a solid name. Cool. Like,
I think there was some legal name, like, I don't know, some trade.
Yeah, maybe. So,
but even so, this is what they come back with, huh? All right.
Yeah.
this is like that Breath of Wild alike Ubisoft cooking up.
There's actually a demo right now. If you sign up for a Stadia account, you can play a free demo, but then you have to sign up for a Stadia account.
Well, I got a funny quick aside about that, George. So I was like, last night I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll try this demo. I'm kind of curious to see how this plays. I need something sort of simple to play before bed, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just sign up for Stadia, see how it works. And I, after booting up the game and like playing, the intro is playing out, it stops and I get a notification that says you need faster internet in order to there's a problem with your connection, you need faster internet to like use Google Stadia. And
why don't you get faster internet, James?
Well, here's the thing, George, I have Google Fiber. So fuck me, I guess. Anyway, yeah, we've got a lot of coverage of this game up. How are you feeling about it? What's the?
It looks promising. I like the art style. I think after playing something like Genshin Impact, I'm like, you know what? I think I have room in my life for a Breath of the Wild clone, or at least something that takes the good stuff from Breath of the Wild. And, you know, even if this just has like a Greek mythology wrapping around it,
yeah,
I'm all for it. And I like any open world game where you could just create your person too. So
yes, I think in any normal year I would be excited about this, and I'm like curious to play it. But Ubisoft stacking up three time sucking open world games in like 2 months is fucking crazy to me. But you know, they kind of, it looks like they're targeting different folks. But for the gamer, the true gamer who wants to play them all, it's like yeah. Yeah, plus we got Cyberpunk in there, Yakuza. A lot of big long games.
There's literally not enough hours in a month to play through all these games.
No. And this list we're looking at, some of these have been delayed and kind of pushed off. So I don't know that we should take them as they're listed here as truth.
And we know World of Warcraft got pushed back.
Yeah, I don't know if like that's going to make the end of the year or not. I would think so. They did the pre-patch, right? Steven was saying. So possibly we see Shadowlands. Maybe not. I don't know. One I missed here that wasn't on that list is December 1st, Empire of Sin. This is the Romeros, right? Their studio.
Yeah. That gangster XCOM empire builder thing.
4X game of some kind. Yeah. I haven't like looked too deep into how it will play, but it sounds like some good deep PC gaming stuff. Like, so it's not all just open world games and RPGs and time sucking stuff like Destiny 2. We do have some good heritage, potentially good, PC heritage stuff coming out as well. Is there anything else we glossed over that you think we're missing here? There's going to be a ton of like little games for sure on itch and on Steam. Like if you go to Steam's upcoming releases, it's a
Steam's got stuff. There's stuff on Steam every day, so
yeah,
you'll find something to play. If you're looking for something to play, I'm more than certain you'll find something. Did we mention Ghost Runner by any chance?
Oh, I think no, we totally that's before Watch Dogs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's the October 27th Ghost Runner. Yes.
Yeah, I glossed right over that. What's this game?
It's a hardcore first person slasher packed with lightning fast action set in a grim cyberpunk megastructure.
More cyberpunk here, baby.
You're gonna climb Dharma Tower, humanity's last shelter after a world ending cataclysm. Make your way up from the bottom to the top to confront the tyrannical Keymaster and take your revenge.
Keymaster.
Everything about that, everything about that description, I'm completely on board for.
I played the demo of this a month or two ago. I don't know what is time, but it's cool. It's like if you slim down and streamline like Mirror's Edge, if you've ever played Katana Zero, it feels like that in 3D as well. Just really stylish, straightforward, not straightforward necessarily, but like challenging first person parkour plus katana slashing and killing and murder.
Yeah. The game has like a momentum to it, which always looks cool. It just looks like you just keep moving and moving and moving, which is kind of neat.
So those are the big releases, George. I want to ask you to give me your top three. I think I know what your number one is. Like if you could only play three of these that we kind of went through, What's your play order here and your priority list?
Definitely Yakuza Like a Dragon. I just think I'm invested in that world. I that game has a charm to it that is so understated.
Yeah.
It's a game. It's a Japanese crime drama, but you feel good the entire time.
Okay, so that's your number one. What follows up?
Yeah, that's probably I'm gonna go Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay,
man. Again, I'm seeing more and more footage. A lot of it we can't talk about, but the more and more I see about this game, I'm like, all right, this game looks kind of dope.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of funny when people put on masks and do crime. So I think that's Fair enough. Might be my go-to crime game. And I guess I'll put in Cyberpunk just because I feel like if I didn't, someone might like send me an angry tweet or something. But I feel like Cyberpunk's going to be more of like a hate play. Like I'm going to sit there just super mad at all the choices they made.
Hopefully not. Hopefully, like I want to believe, George, that like this is going to be like the perfect mm-hmm. like social satire or like commentary. Yes. Like, but I'm so worried they're going to bury like don't they have like a Mexican gang of some kind that's just
Valentinos. Yeah. It's like imagine MS-13. And that's it. Like,
oh my God. It's yeah. They are straight up like bright, like blinding stereotypes.
And I mean, you do have the people who are very into guns. It's a very ethnically diverse group, which is nice,
yes.
But they're very big on their Second Amendment rights. You have the Haitian gang who's very big on voodoo and hacking. You have the ladies who's a gang also.
Yeah. They're kind of sexy, sultry. What are they called? I forgot what they're called, but yeah.
The Moxies.
The Moxies.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you have the Yakuza triad. The
animals.
Stand it.
We say the animals. The
animals. Oh, right. The animals were like bodybuilders.
Big tough guys. I'm worried that it's all the subtext is going to be like the interesting like commentary is going to be like buried in some kind of like notebook optional reading. And it's not going to be baked into the story because like it could be interesting. I also don't trust like the average player to like pick up on it. But, you know, like, I don't know if you're making what you claim to be like a serious narrative, even if it is, you know, satirical in a big way, I don't trust like the average Cyberpunk player to like pick up on the subtleties at all and just be like, haha, look at the Valentinos, they're just like Mexicans, you know, doy. Like I worry that being the greater effect and takeaway that like Cyberpunk gifts.
Oh man, I really cannot wait to talk about Cyberpunk when it's closer to release.
A lot to dig into.
We're gonna have a lot to say.
Already tired of exhausted by the discourse, but
yeah, whatever. How am I already exhausted by Cyberpunk takes and the game's not even out yet?
Anyway, my tier list real quick. Handball number one for sure.
Boom.
No, it's I think actually for me it's gonna be Cyberpunk's probably number one just because I'm curious and intensely curious about it. Followed up by I don't know, it's a toss up for Watch Dogs or Valhalla, one of those are going to be hit me in the right way at the right time, I'm sure. And Yakuza number three.
Yeah.
Right on.
Glad I convinced you. I like to think it's because of me you're playing Yakuza.
Absolutely, George. Well, right on. Clearly we have a lot of work cut out for us. And this segment definitely just gave me more anxiety about the sheer workload. We're going to have to cut through, but, it's exciting work, at least, you know, it's
yeah,
very lucky. I should have asked, is there anything on the hardware front happening? Or are we pretty much over the hill on all the big stuff?
All the big video cards came out. Yeah. We're waiting for, we're trying to see what AMD is up to and right. what Intel is going to be doing, since Intel's also announcing GPUs. We're just waiting for information. I just want to know, like Huawei at some point said they were going to do video cards, but they've been super quiet. So for months. So,
okay.
So yeah. But right now it's just trying to secure an RTX 3080 or 3090, which is still impossible. Ugh.
Those consoles are going to make a lot of noise, I bet. But, I don't
literally. Yes.
Literally. They're like fucking jet engines.
They're so huge.
And we'll just be over here on the computer.
Are playing silent, the same exact games you're playing there.
yeah, looking nicer. I mean, hey, you know, I probably will own one of these in the future at some point, but we get to be smug for a month or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your thing's running hot. Your game loaded how fast?
Okay.
Oh, that's cute. You got an SSD.
no Hulu app, huh? All right, well. Anyway, okay, cool. Well, big recap. Looking forward to the rest of the year, even if it is going to, I will black out and sort of wake up in January or wake up when Resident Evil 8 comes. And that's about it. George, thank you for climbing to the foot of this terrible mountain with me. And
I cannot wait. I will Sherpa you up the entire way.
I just imagined you with a really long beard and a cool wool cloak taking me to the top of the mountain where Yakuza, like a dragon, is waiting for me. All right.
There you go. I'm glad you were able to say that. I like that.
All right, George. We'll catch you later, man.
Later, guys.